As we reported last night, scores of children at a school in Peru have suffered seizures and described visions of a man in black trying to kill them in what locals say was a mass case of demonic possession. Disturbing video has emerged of up to 80 students convulsing, screaming, fainting at the school in Peru. Experts are trying to explain the hysteria that broke out at the school. They have no idea what's going on. Up next, David Weatherly joins us. One of his works, of course, The Black Eyed Children. See if he can put this in perspective for us next on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast to Coast. David Weatherly has been investigating paranormal subjects for more than 40 years. I think he started when he was two. Investigating cases around the country and abroad, he has written a diverse range of topics, cryptozoology, UFOs, hauntings. David's blog can be found at 2-Crows Paranormal. And, of course, a couple of his books, Strange Intruders and The Black-Eyed Children, just zoomed to our charts when he was on. David, welcome to the show. Good to have you.
Good evening, George. It's always a pleasure to be on.
Oh, I'm looking forward to this. This story in Peru is unbelievable. 80 children that believe that someone dressed in black is trying to kill them, and they're having these demonic convulsing, screaming, fainting fits. What's happening over there?
It's a really bizarre case, George. It's kind of hit the internet in the last couple of days and went viral, but this actually started at the end of April down at this school. And they started having these situations where these children were going into these strange fits. They were vomiting, they were nauseous, they were claimed they were hearing voices. And as you stated, they began to talk about seeing this strange figure in black wandering the hallways. Some of the children were reporting that this man in black was chasing them. Some of the kids said that whatever this was trying to strangle them. And one of the strange things that came up in this case, now, of course, you know, a lot of people have jumped in and said, well, this is a case of mass hysteria. And, you know, it does have some of those symptoms. But what's curious about it is that this is a situation where there were children in different classrooms, completely separated, who suddenly started experiencing these symptoms at the same time.
Jeez.
So, you know, this is not a typical mass hysteria thing where something spreads through rumor and fear and so forth. And the doctors are at a loss to understand what's going on.
They don't know what's going on. Now, is it happening in other areas or just Peru?
Well, you know, that's one of the interesting things. But I do want to throw a couple things in about this Peru case still. You know, they did all the standard examinations of the grounds, you know, to find if there was a gas leak or anything like this. And as you stated, the video is rather disturbing. You see these children literally having to be carried out.
Oh, my God, screaming, convulsing.
They're screaming nonstop. And, you know, they can't figure out what's wrong with them when they take them to the hospital. Again, they're reporting all these bizarre experiences, and what the media is now saying is some type of demonic possession. What's come up now is that the locals are saying that the grounds that the school was built on were once known as basically a dumping ground for victims of a criminal organization in the area. Now, the media in the West is calling it, you know, a mafia
cemetery
or something. Yeah. But, you know, essentially, this is something that apparently was common knowledge down there, that the criminal organization of the area was using this space to dump their bodies. So that could be a factor with what we're seeing occur here. But, wow, just so many strange things about this case.
David, explain, though, what is mass hysteria, basically?
Mass hysteria is essentially it's a psychological phenomena wherein a group of people begin to believe they are experiencing the same thing. Now, sometimes that's a delusion. Sometimes it could even be hallucinations. But this is usually something that happens in an area where you have a large group of people confined to, you know, the same building in constant communication with each other. And what happens is that, you know, a rumor or some type of fear or conspiracy will begin to spread amongst these people. And if the conditions are right, then, you know, they start to be mentally affected by what they're hearing, as if, you know, some of them just simply can't handle the intensity of what they suddenly believe, you know, this supposed fear that is created. And it can create, of course, you know, psychosomatic symptoms, you know, of nausea and supposed pains and things like that. But this type of case usually passes fairly quickly. We're seeing a case here in Peru where, as I stated, we've got people who are, you know, children who are separated, who aren't hearing what's going on in the other classroom, but yet are experiencing the same symptoms all of a sudden, you know, at the same time. And then these reports of this bizarre figure of a man in black, essentially. And he's been described a few different ways, but very vague descriptions. Now, that's intriguing itself, because the description of this man, you know, this really traces at least back to the medieval period. And, you know, we hear this all through history in witchcraft lore. You know, people during the witch craze, and of course during the Middle Ages when the witch hunts were going on, a lot of the literature would talk about the devil appearing as a man dressed in black.
That's an interesting take. Well, it's a great story, and we'll continue to watch.
But it's not the only one, George.
No, I was going to say, what else is going on?
Well, just prior to this, earlier in the month of April, there was another case. Now, this one was across the world in Malaysia. And in that situation, we have very similar conditions. We have school children who suddenly become very ill. They're having, you know, fits and convulsions. They're suffering these very strange attacks. And these attacks, they started on a Monday, and it reached 25 pupils just that day. Within 2 days, another round of these attacks came in from whatever was causing it. And again, no one can explain exactly what's going on here. But by Wednesday, an additional 50 students were afflicted in the same way, and a dozen teachers at the school were having the same symptoms. So, you know, it sounds just like the Peru case when you start looking at the details of what these children and teachers are describing. And again, they're talking about a figure in black.
What's your gut telling you about this? I'm being so widespread now.
You know, I think it's an example of the sort of cycle that we're in of paranormal activity, so to speak. You know, if you look throughout history and you really study just phenomena across the board, from UFO sightings to, you know, reports of ghosts and hauntings and cryptids, you'll see that this goes on a cycle where we reach sort of peaks, you know, periods where we're having a large number of reports from all over the world. And we seem to be in one of those now. I remember just a few years ago talking to a lot of tribal elders about the whole, you know, 2012, you know, hype and everything. And one of the things that I heard consistently from different cultures was that, well, no, the world's not ending. Obviously it didn't, but they were saying that we are entering a period where you're going to see a lot more of this type of activity, because, as they say, the veil is thinner. So a lot of other things are coming through. Now, if we looked at that scientifically, you know, we could say, well, you know, maybe this is a period where things are coming in from other dimensions.
Is it conceivable that this increase in activity is being fueled by something else, whatever that might be?
Yeah, it's absolutely conceivable. And of course, that's something that at this point is certainly beyond our understanding. But when you read these cases, and I'm sure you get the same sense, George, you look at this stuff and you think, this appears to be something that has an intelligence behind it, something that is sort of, you know, the invisible hand directing these events in some way, just to test the waters, or my God, maybe even to have fun. It's just really bizarre from our perspective, of course, but we really have to wonder.
And I don't think, like, for example, these children in Peru, I don't think they're faking this. Something's happening to them.
Oh, I absolutely believe they're experiencing some type of genuine phenomena. Now,
is it demonic? Who knows, right?
The source of that, we can't understand at this point.
But they all have said they see this man in black, and when they say he's trying to kill them, what do you think is happening there? Is he lunging at them like a shadowy ghost figure, or what?
Well, you know, a lot of the children are describing being chased or pursued by this man in black in the school. But we actually have a situation here where some of these children are reporting that they felt as if this entity was attempting to strangle them. So they're experiencing, they're having a physical.
And they're the only ones who can see this being, I guess, right?
Well, so far there are no reports from adults who have witnessed this particular entity. But, you know, you bear in mind a school environment, there's going to be a lot more children, and the teachers are going to tend to be, you know, in the classrooms and so forth. And they keep reporting that they're seeing this figure in the hallways of the school itself.
Is it conceivable that this entity is able to make itself known to the children and not to adults?
Oh, that's entirely possible. Sure. There, you know, there's a lot of cases where whatever entity we're talking about seems to display an ability to manifest only to the people that it wants to. And if we really start taking an esoteric viewpoint of it, we could look at the belief that children are simply more open-minded to these types of things than adults are. And just because of that, it may be that they have a different level of perception and are able to see this thing. You know, it's really strange, though, when you start looking at the accounts and you're finding them all around the world manifesting very close together. Because, as I said, in Malaysia, we've got very similar circumstances. We've got people describing, children describing this man in black.
See, that's what I find to be very...
in the halls of the school.
Yeah, that's strange. These tie-ins, these similarities make this even stranger, doesn't it?
It really does. And the attacks in Malaysia, the situation there got so bad that they actually closed the school. And get this, George, after they closed the school, there were still additional students who became afflicted while they were at home.
Strange. I mean, you would think that maybe there could be some drugs involved here and all these kids have ingested something or something in the water. Who knows what?
Right, and those are the common assumptions when something like this happens. You know, is it some type of gas or chemical, or is it some type of contaminated food, you know, the water supply, whatever it is. And, of course, all of those things have been looked at this point by the officials probing the case and trying to determine exactly what's going on. And, you know, on a certain level, there's no rhyme or reason either, because we're looking at a school full of children. In Peru, I forget what the total number of students at that school was, but we've got just over 80 students afflicted at this point. But again, it's selective. So, you know, we've got a classroom where a few students will suddenly start displaying these symptoms, but the others are perfectly fine.
That makes it even stranger, David, doesn't it?
It does, because it certainly rules out, you know, well, they're most likely all eating the same lunch, so it's not that. You know, if it was a gas or a chemical leak or something like that, then they would all be displaying the symptoms. But that's not what's happening. And these kids, you know, a lot of these kids are saying that some of them just don't even remember what's happened to them when they go into...
Yeah, they look like they're in a different world.
They really do. They really do. It's... You know, you see some of the video and it looks similar to maybe an epileptic type of seizure or something, because they clearly have no control, you know, over what their bodies are doing. But the screams. You know, the screams are just blood curdling, and they just go on and on and on. And this is happening. You know, they've taken these children, they're rushing them out to ambulances and taking them to the hospital, and these fits are continuing.
And doctors have no idea what's going on.
They don't.
They can't put their finger on it.
You know, they've examined these children, and they've tried everything they could possibly come up with to explain what has caused this, but they just can't find an explanation.
What does your gut tell you about this?
I think that there's some type of entity in that place that is causing...
In this school.
In the school that is causing the circumstances, yeah. I do.
And has gone after these kids for some reason.
Right. Right. That's what my gut says about it. Now, obviously, I'm not, you know, on location or able to really kind of run through the gamut, but...
I understand.
You know, from everything I've seen so far, there's something well beyond the normal going on in that town, that's for sure.
I wonder, because this is happening worldwide, if there's some kind of message behind all of this. A warning.
There could be. And, you know, when we get into some of the other cases, I mean, this case in Malaysia, now bear in mind that, you know, Malaysia is a Muslim country. There's 60-some% of the population practices Islam. And their immediate assumption with this case was that it was the jinn.
Which is like the devil, I guess, right?
Well, it's tough to exactly equate it like that, but they are certainly very sinister as far as I'm concerned, and with all the research I've done on them. And in the Malaysian case, you know, officials closed the school because, again, they were looking at, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 people afflicted with whatever this was. So very similar numbers. And they closed the school and then, you know, brought in holy men in order to try to calm the activity down, which really didn't work, because even though the school had, you know, was blessed and purified and so forth, they still had children experiencing these same symptoms at home. And what's even more bizarre, George, is, you know, we can go back a year ago, May of 2015, there was yet another similar case. Now, this one didn't get much media attention because it was in Saudi Arabia, but very similar circumstances. An elementary school, and the children suddenly went into these fits and you know, started to become very ill. They were having spasms, they were fainting, they were screaming, and although the numbers weren't as high, I think it was around a dozen students that were affected, officials stepped in and sort of took control right when this started happening, and again, they blamed the jinn. Now, again, Islamic country, and that's sort of, you know, what they defaulted to. Peru, I think, is primarily Catholic, so... are Christian, so, you know, they're going to assume something demonic.
Are we getting to any of these cases here in the United States?
We haven't had any in recent...
That's strange, too.
It is kind of strange, yeah. You know, there's been a few things that were sort of similar, but nothing... Nothing close to this that I'm aware of, with, you know, a dark figure roaming the halls and direct attacks on the children and so forth.
All right, David, stay with us. We're going to come back. I want to talk with you about your work with the Black Eyed Children. We can't let you go without that. The next hour, we'll take phone calls with David Weatherly here on Coast to Coast AM. Going to take your calls with David Weatherly next hour, and we're going to talk about the Black Eyed Children when we come back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. Two events that I want to talk with you about, of course. Those of you that are brand new to the program, if you happen to live in the Illinois-St. Louis area in Missouri, June 18th, circle that at Lindenwood College. We're going to have a huge live stage show event. Our dear buddy Stanton Friedman is coming in for that. Rock historian R. Gary Patterson. And some surprises, so pickup tickets are going fast. The event is less than a month away now. Simply go to coasttocoastam.com at the highlight reel, click the link there to the St. Louis event. And then those of you in the Asheville, North Carolina area, and then come on in from down south. We're going to have a great event at the Diana Wortham Theater. That is going to be August 27th, and there's full information there at coasttocoastam.com as well. And welcome back to Coast, David Weatherly with us. One of his works, The Black Eyed Children, an incredible situation of young children coming up to your door, meeting them out there on the streets, on the sidewalks, and that they stare at you with these black eyes. David, you got to tell us more about this. For brand new people, what are the Black Eyed Children?
Kind of children are... We don't know exactly what they are, George, but these accounts, they've sort of come in waves also, as we were discussing earlier. Now, the modern wave of accounts really started in the late 1990s, and they sort of incepted with a gentleman named Brian Bethel. He was in Texas, went out one night to pay a bill, and was sitting in his car writing a check at a local strip center, and these two young boys approached his vehicle, and they sort of motioned, they wanted him to put the window down, they wanted to talk to him. Now Brian was, he was in a safe neighborhood, but he just felt a little uneasy for some reason.
A little uncomfortable.
So he only rolled the window down just a little bit in order to hear them, and they began to say these sort of odd phrases to him, hey, mister, we need a ride. We need to go get our money so we can see a movie. They were saying these things that were sort of monotone. They weren't making a whole lot of sense. And Brian was growing increasingly nervous in the presence of these two boys. And he fortunately had, this presence of mind to glance over at the movie marquee and realize that, the last showing of this movie was well underway. It was, halfway over or something. So it didn't make any sense that these kids were trying to go see a movie that was, going to be finished by the time they got back. And they became more insistent as they saw his reluctance. And they were telling him things like, we're just a couple of kids. Just let us in the car.
Sure.
And, finally, when Brian takes a moment to get a better look at these kids, he realizes that their eyes are solid black. No whites, no pupils, nothing, just solid black eyes. Now, as you would expect, that is enough for him. So he quickly, throws the car into gear and pulls out of the parking lot. And George, as he looks in the mirror back where these kids were standing, they have now vanished. So, this case is really sort of a benchmark, as I said, for the modern encounters. And I really want to emphasize that. These are the modern encounters. Because what happened was Brian was so disturbed by the circumstances of this encounter that he ended up posting his experience on an internet forum, and other people started responding with similar cases, saying they had seen, something like this. Mm-hmm. And in the midst of this whole banter of people talking about this topic, the acronym BEK was presented, which is short for Black Eyed Kid, obviously. Now, that sort of has melded into the modern mythos, if you will, of these black-eyed kids, black-eyed children, because the accounts have just continued to pour in from the time Brian first posted his. And, we have literally heard these things from all over the world. And as you stated, I did write a book on the topic and, found accounts from widespread locations, Australia, England, Canada, the United States. And these accounts, they have just picked up more and more. And we can't even keep up with them. The researchers who try to track these things. And, there's a handful of people at least who have been actively collecting these accounts for several years now. And you know, we talk occasionally and we're all hearing different accounts than the other one is. So again, this is something that in terms of activity, there's been a massive increase of encounters with these things, and they are completely unnerving. You know, typically these children are described as being preteen. The most common age that I hear personally is around, you know, 10 to 12 years old. They are very pale skinned. As I stated, they have completely solid black eyes, and they speak in a very monotone manner. Usually, they issue very strange requests.
But they always, you know, want in something, whether it's a house, a car.
Something. Yeah. They want something from the person. You know, one of the weirdest ones was an account from Texas where this black-eyed kid showed up at this guy's door, and this child says, is it food time?
Now, like it's time to serve him.
Right. Yeah. But that's not language that anyone...
And I've got to say, in mixed feelings, a little kid shows up and is hungry. You know what? Maybe you feed the kid, but this was not a normal kid.
Well, and that's the psychological aspect of what these people go through when they experience the encounter with these children. Because, you know, as I've said before, as adults, we're sort of hardwired to help children. If we see a child in need, you know, George, if a kid shows up at your door and says, Mr., I'm lost, you know, your first reaction is going to be, oh my gosh, let's...
You're going to help them. You're going to help them. Call the cops and help them.
You're going to call the cops. You know, you're going to do everything you can. And what happens in these encounters is that I've heard time and time again from people who have had the experience, these children show up, you know, they issue these weird statements. They want to come inside for something, but there's this psychological battle that takes place in the mind of the witness because they're seeing children and they want to help them, but something is really causing this resistance, and they're afraid. And usually, you know, you see some stages where they're initially just sort of uneasy. There's something odd about, you know, these kids showing up, and then that unease quickly grows into nervousness and then outright fear or terror. Now, I should emphasize, in almost all of these encounters, people do not initially see these solid black eyes, because these kids, they'll show up at the door and they'll be looking down at their shoes, you know, or they'll have a hoodie on and sort of have their, you know, their face veiled a little bit. So it's almost as if it's strategic on the part of these beings, because I don't believe for a moment that they're actually children. But whatever these things are, they seem to, you know, calculate when they make eye contact, because it causes this huge spike in fear and adrenaline within the victim.
What happens, David, once they do get inside of a house?
Very, very few cases, George, that talk about that. Just a few scattered ones. There is one that's documented in my book.
So most people don't let them in.
Most people don't let them in because most people experience such fear that all they can think to do is to get away from these kids, just to get away.
That's probably smart. Has anybody ever been hurt physically by the kids?
You know, people have had strange physical experiences is how I would answer that. There have been a couple of people, for instance, who have reached out and touched one of these children, and afterwards they became very, very ill, you know, for a period of time. So there aren't any attacks, if that's what you're asking, that I'm aware of.
Okay. All right. Do they recruit other children?
They are known to occasionally make contact with children, but I don't know that you would call it recruiting. I'm not aware of any cases where they try to, for instance, lure other kids away with them or anything like that.
How do we know that they're not extraterrestrials?
They could be, George. The two most popular theories to explain what these children are pretty much split between being some type of demonic entity And, you know, a lot of things in the cases we could find to sort of argue that they don't enter a home, for instance, they ask for an invitation. You know, everybody knows that's typical vampire lore, but that's also common in demonic lore. You know, a demon can't enter unless it's invited in some way. So there are things that we could quickly bring up and say, well, this, you know, argues that they're demonic. But on the other hand, people can easily argue that there's some type of alien hybrid, because we certainly can't deny the similarity between those creepy black eyes and the typical, you know, the iconic gray alien.
That's what I think is
black
happening.
Orbs.
Yeah, I think that's probably the logical explanation who these children are. Now, do we know, though, why they try to get inside of a house? What do you think could happen?
You know, the only case that I'm aware of, as I stated earlier, where someone actually invited one of these things in, it involved another child, actually, inviting one of these black-eyed kids to get into a vehicle with him. And the aftermath of that was, it wasn't tragic, but it was pretty disturbing, because the child who had been in such close proximity with this black-eyed kid became very ill for a long period of time. And ironically, much like the cases we were discussing earlier from Peru and Malaysia, this child became violently ill, but the doctors could not determine what was wrong with this child. They ran every imaginable test. They, you know, kept changing what they thought the diagnosis was. You know, they thought it was this, they thought he had a ruptured appendix, then they said, no, it's not that, he's got this, and, you know, it changed constantly because his symptoms kept changing. And the family became so frustrated, finally, that, you know, they sort of defaulted back to their spiritual beliefs, and they were not a family that practiced their religion, but faced with these circumstances, they sort of defaulted back to that, and their firm belief is that by leaving, you know, a spiritual vigil around this child and you know, constant prayer is what eventually healed him.
What do their voices sound like, David?
Monotone is what most people say. You know, there's two things that come up about the language. One is the very strange phrases, and two are these monotone sentences. Almost, you know, some people will say it sounds like these kids memorized their sentence or their question.
Huh. Could they be? Go ahead. No, go ahead.
And other people will say, you know, they just they don't quite sound human. You know, it's as if they're pretending to be children.
Could they be robots?
I don't think they are. I haven't really seen anything that would indicate that there's something mechanical in those terms.
They look biological.
They look biological. Now, that being said, there are some very odd things about their physical appearance. As I stated, their skin is usually described as being pale or pasty.
Mm-hmm.
There are a few people who say the skin almost looks artificial. But, and another one of the odd things is, you know, we're talking about children who are usually described, you know, being anywhere between 10 and 16 years old. And I have never once had a witness who remembered seeing any kind of blemish on these children. Now, you and I both know, George, you know, that's the age when, you know,
you get pimples
kicking in and everything else, you know, pimples.
Thank God for Clearasil.
Something, but nothing is ever noted on these kids. And likewise, there's never been a case where someone has reported one of these kids having an iPod or a cell phone or anything like that. Now, you know,
nowadays everybody has one.
That's right. And look at a shopping center. You know, what are all the teenagers doing? They're all, you know, got their necks bent down, they're texting.
How did they get to where they get?
Good question. They just appear.
They just appear.
You know, and equally strange is they just disappear.
How do
you know, there are people who will slam the door on these kids.
And then they're gone.
Go to the window and look out the window and the kids have vanished.
Huh. How do pets or animals react to them?
There are a number of cases with dogs being present. And that's pretty fascinating too, because these cases, the dogs are terrified. And George, we're talking about, you know, I've heard accounts with pit bulls, German shepherds, you know, trained attack dogs who suddenly, in the presence of these things, put their tail between their legs, run away whining.
Like they want nothing to do with these kids.
That's
or entities.
Correct.
Now, are there black-eyed, you know, adults?
There are, and there are a growing number of cases, reports of people seeing these black-eyed adults. It's grown dramatically, as a matter of fact. When I researched the book in, 2010, 2011, you know, there were only a handful of cases that I found at the time that were contemporary of people reporting seeing adults with black eyes. Over time, there just seems to be more and more of those. I'd say that probably, a good 30%, maybe 40% of what I now receive involve cases with black-eyed adults, both men and women.
How tall are they? The adults, normal adult heights?
Yeah, they're normal. Yeah, everything about these cases, both the children and the adults, you know, the physical form itself is always described as being, you know, like a basic human being. You know, they have
and monotone
two
voice.
Arms, two legs, you know, they have hair, you know, variations in their build.
They probably have a third eye in their forehead once they take their hat off or something.
Maybe so.
Like a Twilight Zone episode. Do they talk deliberately as well?
They do. It seems to be less forced, if you will. So while they'll make strange statements, the accounts seem to indicate that they're a little bit more adept at what they're doing, possibly.
And the adults want the same thing? They want in?
Well, they usually have some kind of a strange request. You know, they want to ride somewhere, they want to get in your vehicle, or they want to come in your home, and you know, strange things like that.
Were these black-eyed adults once black-eyed children?
That's a distinct possibility. I mean, we're talking about, you know, encounters that go very far back. You know, the more I dug into this thing, the further back I found accounts, you know, well before what I call the modern period. So, you know, I've uncovered accounts from the 50s, the 70s, you know, the 60s. So, you know, if whatever these things are, if they've been a presence here that long, which I believe they have, then it kind of makes sense that they would have, you know, grown and aged.
They have no problems demonstrating that they want in your house. We're going to come back in a moment with David Weatherly. Let's take the phone calls next hour.